You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 24th, 2011. This is episode 198, Pogo Cal. Hello again, everybody. My name is Martin Spriggs, and right alongside me, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and we are back to school and sleepy. How about you guys in Wisconsin?
We are, and I just took my daughter back to Luther Prep last weekend, and it seemed like the summer just absolutely flew by.
Yeah, it's definitely been a busy summer here, too, but nice to be back in the groove. I'm doing 3 hours of volunteer work in our computer lab this year with our K through 8 students.
And nice.
Got a lot of fun stuff planned. One of my favorite projects I'm really excited about. You're going to have to follow this year and see how it develops. But we have some beautiful stained glass in our sanctuary. And probably about 10 or 12 years ago, one of the artists in our congregation drew line drawings of each of the stained glass windows, and they wrote up descriptions of the meaning behind each of them. Mm-hmm. And I figured out that I'm going to digitize all those comic book kind of drawings that they had done and have the kids use paint programs and color in the stained glass windows and go around and take photos of each of the stained glass windows and turn it into some kind of a, maybe even a narrated multimedia tour of our stained glass windows. So that's nice. Kind of my vision for our school year is to come up with this stained glass window project across all the different ages and stuff.
So, you're gonna put that on the web, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking forward to the school year. I'm going to have the older kids blogging this year for their typing practice. They're going to type and blog at the same time, and that should be a lot of fun to follow as well. So welcome back to school, everybody.
Very nice. We are in the midst, closing in on the end of our Wells Hacker series, and actually also closing in on our 200th episode, and we're going to have a little more news on that here after our Wells Hacker blog post descriptions. I guess I'm up this week.
Yep, you go first.
And mine is a little tool that I've mentioned in the past called Pogo Plug, and the context within which I mentioned it before. This was maybe a month or two, 3 months back already, as a device. It originated as a little device that you plug into your network, and then you plug in a hard drive to the Pogo plug. It acts as a little network device, and then you can share your files on your hard drive or have access to those files wherever you go. If you've got the Pogo plug software on another computer, or there's a web interface, it works really slick, and I'm really a fan of Pogo Plug. I have it on all the computers I work on, and always have access to all those files. But what they did recently, and this is about 2.5 months ago, they released some software, a software-only version, which will allow you to install the software on any computer, and that computer will act as its own Pogo plug. So if you've got your computer on, you can share any files that you want from that computer with anybody else or with any other computer, or even get access to them on the web. So you no longer need the device or the separate hard drive. Your computer acts as the Pogo plug. And this is free software, although there's a premium $29 version that allows you to stream music and movies and those kinds of things right from your computer to the web or whatever. But this makes it, I think, a little bit more appealing for ministry purposes, where this can act almost like a file server, you're kind of a do-it-yourself file server, where you can create a dedicated computer, load the Pogo Plug software, and then share out the particular folders or files that you want to whoever you want. And through the software, you can create users and give them access so that they can not only download and view, but they can also upload files and manage files. So it's it really can act as a file server just by itself for free, and you don't need to buy any expensive networking gear. It just works through the internet and works nicely through most firewalls and has a pretty simple to use interface, and I found it to be very easy to use and set up. So my blog post really kind of goes step by step through the process of setting up, getting the install done on your computer, launching the software, going to the remote access tab and making sure that you've made the appropriate folders available for remote access, because it's not an all or nothing. You can really get pretty granular. I only want to give access to this folder or this folder or this file or this file. And then going through the process of inviting somebody to come in and view the files that are in that folder. And just a couple other tips and tricks to make it a little bit easier. But I think in general, this is a great solution for somebody just looking to do a kind of a poor man's file server, and works pretty well. Sally, I actually sent you an invite, and I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, it's not an intimidating invite either. It's something that when the people receive it, they won't go, "What is this?" It, mm-hmm. You know, it was very obvious that it came from you, and it explained a little bit about what I was clicking on before I clicked, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So that's always nice to see what the other user is going to receive when you do that kind of thing.
Right.
Boy, I could see this as being a real benefit as we're working through some, you know, intense projects, like maybe the Board of Ed is looking at the school handbook, or the council's looking at the constitution and bylaws and things like that. And, you know, just being able to open up and do that file sharing, keeping it stored on your computer at church or at school, but allowing people to see and even be able to modify or upload their own information could be
a
real powerful thing.
It really comes in handy, and I mentioned this in the blog post, is for larger files. So if you've got larger graphic files or PDFs or whatever it is that are too big to email, you can simply plug them into this, the folder that you shared, and give them a link to it, and they can download it. So it doesn't really need to get uploaded anywhere. It just sits wherever you want it to sit on your local hard drive, and then they can download it at their leisure. So, and also upload larger files too. But your computer does have to be on, of course, for this software to run and for people to have access to it. But that really is the only requirement, and it again really works pretty well.
I'm also thinking of our church secretary and how much she would probably, that one pivotal person mm-hmm. would enjoy having that access to the server kind of thing. So,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Excellent for ministry uses.
Sally, what's on your blog this week?
This week I blogged about a program called Print My Cal, and this is a tie-in program to Google Calendar. We've talked about Google Calendar, I think, since about day one of this podcast, Martin. It's a favorite tool for both of us, and one that has just wonderful ministry application, because you can set up Google Calendars and share them with other people. For instance, you could use Google Calendars for your church or school calendar and share it with the other staff members in your church or school office, so that all of you have editing privileges, can keep the calendar up to date. There are mobile applications for the Google Calendar, so you can have your calendar literally in your pocket on your smartphone or on your mobile device, whatever it may be. And then you can also embed it directly into your church or school website, so whatever changes you make to the calendar immediately flow through and are viewable on your website. So I can't talk enough about the positive aspects of Google Calendar, but there is kind of an Achilles heel there, and that is when it comes to printing the Google Calendar.
Yes.
There aren't a lot of print options for the calendar, and one thing that's a real huge drawback is that each event in the calendar is limited to one line in the printout version of the calendar. So things can get cut off, and that makes them pretty unreadable and not very practical for sharing that print version. So a big requirement of many of our churches and schools is to be able to print a monthly calendar to include in the newsletter. in print format. And so that was a challenge we were facing here at St. John's. And I just happened to be married to a former programmer who's also the pastor of our congregation. And he decided to kick in with some of his programming skills and create a little Java program that would read the Google Calendar data, download it from the web, read it in, and produce an RTF, or rich text format, word processing file. And so you do get an actual file that you can open up in your word processor, be it OpenOffice or Microsoft Word or whatever it is that you use. It works in WordPad as well. You can open it up, and then you can do further edits and work with the calendar before you print it. So if you wanted to add some imagery, or I typically edit the title of the calendar, you know, to make it include the church name and that kind of thing. You can download multiple calendars. It doesn't have to just be one. And you can set up the program to have a lot of calendars links in it, and you can pick and choose which ones you want to include in this particular print file that you're creating. So it's a pretty versatile little utility. Took a little bit of work. There's a lot of different scenarios you have to work out in terms of dealing with different events on a Google Calendar, things that are recurring, and you know, maybe the recurrence pattern is once a month on the third Tuesday, or every week on Wednesday, or whatever it is. So you have to take all that into consideration in the programming of this. And so we did a lot of testing, and I think it's ready for prime time. We use it here at St. John's, and I've shared it with just a few, and they've been real happy with the results. I know this is a challenge we've talked about multiple times on the podcast, so I'm hoping that some of our listeners can benefit from the work that Kevin did and make use of the Print My Cal program as well. We set up a little WordPress blog site where you can go and download the calendar, and we have a video overview where I demonstrate how it works, the functionality of it, and I think you'll be real happy with it. We'd love to get your feedback on it, but that's my blog post for the week.
Very nice. I was one of those early beta testers, and
thank you for that.
No problem. I was very impressed. For part-time, you know, programming, that's actually a very useful tool. So please give it a try, and give Sally and Kevin your feedback too, to make it even better as we go forward.
Definitely.
That whole calendar printing issue is such a challenge for church and school secretaries who have to maintain. Definitely want to maintain an online calendar, web-based calendar, but also have the need to print in the newsletter or wherever. But it's just a bummer to maintain two. So anything that can actually just do one and then save it down and modify it for print, that's all good. So nicely done, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a little summer. Well, actually, it's been going on for a while, but nice to tie it up.
It probably started
summer.
Last summer, even.
Yeah.
Okay. We should probably remind everybody about our 200th episode coming up, Sally. That is going to be on September 7th, I want to say. That'll be episode number 200. We've been at this for a long, long time now. We've been doing it at least once a week and enjoying every minute of it. But we'd like to celebrate episode 200, our anniversary, with a little celebration. And what better way to celebrate than to hear from our Wells Tech listeners, whether they be first-time listeners or long-time listeners. We'd love to hear your voice and put that voice on the show in the form of voicemails. If you have something to share about your experience with technology and ministry, or just something you'd like to say, or encouragement for us, or congratulations for us, whatever it is, 405 for Wells, 405, that's 405-367-9357 is the voicemail number. You can call that at any time. Keep it short. We'd like to obviously be able to play all of them on the show, and we've got, you know, maybe a half dozen so far just from last week's show, so it's wide open. And to incent you a little bit, Sally, we have a giveaway for this anniversary celebration, and that is a Flip Mino HD camera. And it's not just any Flip Mino HD camera. It is one emblazoned with the WellsTech logo. You can custom create these Mino cameras with your own design, and that's what we chose to do. And it turned out really cool. I think you're going to like this. So you're definitely going to want to call in and enter the contest and give us your voicemail and your thoughts. So please do that. And the deadline for that is Labor Day. So if you find yourself after a long day, Labor Day weekend with just trying to relax and thinking about that Flip Mino camera a little bit, call the voicemail number, leave us a voicemail, and we will get you on the show and enter you into the contest.
And please, please leave your name and maybe where you're located in your voicemail so we can get in touch with you. We need to know who you are in order to award you this prize if we draw your number. So
that's right.
Give us a call.
Very good. I just want to give another reminder. We've been announcing this on the last couple shows. We do have an opening in the Senate Administration Building for a help desk person. This person is responsible for taking support phone calls, emails, helping people get access to websites, loading up computers with software, helping end users here in the building with their computer issues, all kinds of stuff, but very key position for us in the Senate Administration Building. We have an opening there. So if you have any interest or know of anybody who might, please shoot us an email at wellstech@wells.net, and we will get in touch that way. And if there's any mutual interest, then we will make things happen with our HR department. So please keep that in mind as well.
Very good. I think it's time for community feedback, and we have a bunch of DIGO links from our WellsTech DIGO group to share with everyone today. Starting out with an infographic that came from the YouVersion people. YouVersion is the electronic Bible and Bible app that many people are using now, and they have reached 20 million bookmarked passages. So they keep stats on the amount of bookmarking going on as you're using the application, different verses or chapters that people tag and bookmark for various reasons. And I thought this was a really interesting infographic, Martin. I don't know if you checked it out or not, but they kind of listed the most bookmarked books and the most bookmarked verses of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the number one most bookmarked book is Psalms. And then that's followed by the book of Matthew and then the book of Proverbs. And after that, most all of it it's very heavily New Testament bookmarked.
Right.
But it does include the book of Genesis and the book of Isaiah in the top 10 as well. So I thought that was interesting. Even more interesting were the top 10 most bookmarked passages. And I said to my husband, you know, what do you think the number one is? And he thought John 3:16, but that's actually number 5 on the list.
Right,
we were kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm.
The number one passage was Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
Nice.
That's an excellent passage, and if I don't have it bookmarked, I better go get it bookmarked, because that's a good one to have bookmarked. They even have in this infographic kind of a word cloud of the top 100 verses and the words that are part of those verses. And of course, it's really interesting to see. God and Lord and Christ are very large. Love is very large, and life is very large, and it's just a really neat infographic. So check it out, and check out that top 10 most bookmarked passages list as well.
Yeah, it seemed just in reading through the passage, obviously many of them are familiar, but a lot of them are just words of encouragement or strengthening, you know, types of verses where people are anxious or concerned or worried about different things. And so there are passages of hope and trust. Like the second one, Proverbs 3:5, there is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Just passages to remind us that, hey, we have a great God, and we ought to trust and rely on him a little bit more.
And along with the third one, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord's plans to prosper mm-hmm. you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Those, again, were the only Old Testament verses. Then
right.
It was very heavy into New Testament hope in Jesus Christ. So I just thought it was a really
interesting study. Yeah, nicely done.
Next up, someone tagged 100 plus Google tricks for teachers. And this is one of those all-encompassing blog posts that has all kinds of Google-specific education tricks, things related to Google Docs, to Gmail, to Google Calendar, and on and on. So if you're a teacher, you probably want to check out this link. Also tagged were a list of interesting ways, and this was actually one that I tagged. This is from a blogger called Tom Barrett. He has an EdTech blog, and he started this crowdsourcing Google presentation meme, basically, where he starts these Google presentations and then shares them publicly so that other people can collaborate with him on these different educational technology topics. So he has using Google Forms in the classroom, using Google Docs in the classroom, using the iPad in the classroom. I actually shared one last week in my blog post, using your interactive whiteboard in the classroom, when I was talking about smart technology in the classroom. But he goes on and on from there. There's using audio and video in your classroom, supporting writing in the classroom, supporting spelling in the classroom, and on and on. And I just thought this was a really excellent resource to tag and come back to if you're using any kind of educational technology tools, because you're not just getting Tom Barrett's view of this, but it's definitely making use of the social aspects of Google Docs and having other teachers contribute their ideas to it as well. Mm-hmm. And so they turn out to be really valuable real world examples of how you can use these different techniques in the classroom.
Right. Very nice. Good resource.
Our friend Ryan Rosenthal tagged art wallpapers, and it's different wallpapers that you can put on your background with artwork by artists like Vincent van Gogh and Leonardo da Vinci and so on. And what Ryan suggested was you might want to use these different art pieces as your desktop background on your smart board or on your projected computer and just engage students with these classic pieces of art. And I thought that was a great idea.
Yep, my wife is going to love that one.
Yeah. And then lastly, a link to Cyber Kids, an educational platform for boys and girls ages 4 to 12. Looks like it was done potentially for international audience, because there's different links for different countries. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of games and educational links included. Subject area specific: math, literacy, geography, art and music, and science. So a new resource for teachers to check out, or parents or homeschoolers to check out, with different games and things that are specific to different subject areas. So thanks for all that great community feedback. If you have feedback, you should really become part of our Wells Tech Deco group. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a link in the show notes to that group, and you can just request membership and begin tagging things yourself that we can include in community feedback.
I would love for that group to grow. It's pretty small right now. It's maybe a dozen or two dozen folks. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But that is a great way to share links with us, because we always check that. We get immediately notified when somebody tags something with a Wells Tech tag. And just a great way to let us know what you're thinking and share good stuff with everybody else. There's other ways to get in touch with us, of course. WellsTech@Wells.net is our email. WellsTech.Wells.net is the website. We have a Facebook page, so you're more than welcome to like that and go there and contribute to the conversation going on there. We also have Twitter feeds. Sally, you are Wells Tech Trainer, I believe, right?
That's correct.
And I am M. Spriggs, and you can follow us there or communicate with us there as well. That's going to about do it for the show this week. Please tune in next week for show 199, the show before the 200th show, of course. Which we're all looking forward to. We should have a new website design, some new music, all kinds of good stuff for that 200th show, in addition to the giveaway that we talked about earlier. Let's close the show with the music of Michael Schrader, his song Fall from his album The Way. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We look forward to talking with you next week.
As your light cast its smile in my room, I settle in. It holds. touches the calm, the chaos, the heart inside. And I know no greater love than this will come for my sins. I'll pay when I fall into temptation. When I fall into the world and its wicked ways, then I fall. On my knees, on my face, and I fall. It's forgiveness, Lord, that I pray. Then I fall. On your grave. Which never goes, it never leaves. Though the seasons change, it always breathes. Still it looks, lives and loves, it remains as it always was. And I know why you chose to die. No greater love can I speak of for my sins are erased when I fall into temptation. When I fall, it's to the world and its wicked ways. Then I fall. And on my faith, and I fall. It's forgiveness, Lord, that I pray. Then I fall. On your grace. On your grave.